Well, good morning. There was a phrase in one of the songs that always used to make me smile when I was sharing God's word. And I used to say, you know what, just because you say I'm a tree doesn't mean that you're a tree. And then we sung, I'm a tree. And then if we don't get in the context, it tells us that we bend under the grace of God. So it's good to put things in context, isn't it? Because if not, you may be going away here thinking that you are a tree. So when we look at God's word, it's good to know what he says through his word. And for those that haven't been here for a while, or you're a visitor today, we've been looking through Matthew 5 and we'll be going through the Beatitudes. And there's lots of things in there that God encourages us and challenges us with. And I was going to be ministering through the next phase, and we was going to be talking about oaths, and we were talking about that wonderful subjects as adultery and such a like. But today we're not going to. We're going to change. And we're going to talk about faith, because it was put on my heart before the service to speak about faith after listening to what God is saying through us through prayer. Even just a moment ago, there was someone who prayed out loud in our group and said, Lord, you're placing on my heart about faith to walk on water. Do you know what? Today, through worship, through his word, it's evident to me that God wants us, or he wants me anyway, to know that I am who he says I am. And he wants you today to know that you are who he says you am, I was going to say, you are. I want to read, just basically, I put a list of scripture down here. And I just want to read through, and let's hope, let's trust that God speaks to you. Because it's not about my words, it's about his word, isn't it? It's not about the spirit of God that's in me, it's about the spirit of truth that's in you. So I want to read my first scripture, which is Romans 1, starting at verse 16. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Are you? I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because, Paul says, it is the power of God. And it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And so today we can say right from the go, do you believe? Do you believe what? Do you believe that the gospel is the power of God? Do you believe that salvation is yours? What's salvation? Many of you, if you're Christians, you know. We hear words like sin, salvation, redemption, being born of his spirit, being his children. So what's that mean? That means that we've been fearfully and wonderfully made. That means that all have sinned. Sin is when we mess up from God's perfection. When we look at the law, when we go through scripture, we look at the law. The law tells us that there is no way to God. But grace tells us there is a way to God through Christ Jesus. That's salvation. That's the gospel, that our sins have been forgiven. I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul says, nor am I. Are you? You shouldn't be. For it brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith. And it's faith that we're going to concentrate on today. From first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. To be righteous means we have a right standing with God. And I know that I'm preaching to the converted, but if we don't fully explain, there may be one person that doesn't understand what it is to be righteous. And how do I become righteous if I'm a sinner? Well, you find salvation through Christ, who is the righteousness of God. So as we put our trust in Christ Jesus by faith, then that righteousness that God needs to forgive us of sin is found in us through Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we live by faith, not by sight. I just want to pause there for a moment, because when I first read this morning, for we live by faith, not by sight, my prayer to God was, Lord, I do live by faith and not by sight, but I want to experience you afresh. I want to see you afresh. And it's okay to see him, isn't it? It's okay to experience his goodness. Because as we gather as church, it's good to hear his word, and I could just read and read and read because I love scripture. I understand scripture, even though I don't at times get the chance to delve into certain words. I understand the simplicity of the gospel. But when we meet together, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I just go, God, help me. Lord, I want to sing your, and I want to worship to you, but Lord, may I enter your presence. Lord, on the outside, I'm saying all the right things and I'm smiling, but on the inside, I'm decaying. I'm stagnating. And when you think about the word stagnate, we went through it in our home group meeting on Thursday. You know, when the waters don't move, they stagnate and they start to smell. I don't know about you, but I want God to stir me from the inside. So the water of the word of life, the spirit of truth will convict me and convince me and stir me up. And Lord, I come to church to honor you. Do you? Not to honor me, to honor him. Lord, I thank you. In the Beatitudes, we've been ministering on blessedness. We're blessed. Someone asked me today, how are you? I was going to tell them how I was in the natural, but instead I decided to tell them how I am because of what God's done for me. I'm blessed. There's times I walk through trouble, the same as you, but I am blessed. I'm blessed. That's the reality of it. So we live by faith, not by sight. But I suggest to you today that it's okay to pray, Lord, reveal yourself afresh to me, that you may stir up the stagnant waters within me, so that I may flow through your presence. It goes on in verse 8. We are confident, I say. This is Paul speaking. I would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. I haven't got there yet. I'm still quite happy in the body, Lord. But I know that you have a place for me. And as scripture tells me, you know the days of my life. He knows the days of your life too. So we need not fear. The Bible says that he's given us a spirit of, not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power. So that we don't fear these things. But for Paul, he understands what it is to be in the body. He understands what it is. Thank you. To be working for the Lord. Thank you, my glamorous assistant, Clive. I trust him at this close quarter. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, I would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him. This is the key part of these few lines. We make it our goal to please him. Who? God. Whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So that each of us may receive what is due to us. Do you know what? There's something due to you. There's good gifts and not so good gifts. Do you know that God will judge the world? And we're in the world, but we're not of the world. But we'll still be judged, the Bible says, according to the things that we do and the things that we say. So God's word is challenging. Yes, it's encouraging, though, because it always convinces us to stir the waters afresh and let God flow afresh in our lives. Due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. And then it goes on to talk about a ministry of reconciliation. And God's given me and you a ministry of reconciliation. You see, the gospel was given to you, and the gospel was given to me, so that you can give it to someone else. And when we gather together, we're in the protection of these walls. We're shielded from the weather, but we're not out of sight from God, are we? See, God knows. He says he judges the thoughts and the attitudes of my heart. That's a scary place for me to be. So I, like David, try to say on a regular basis, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Why do I do that? Because I know that there's stagnation within me. And I want God to cleanse me and clean me. Because I know who I am, fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's the same for you. So I want to be just a reminder today of us as a congregation as we meet here.
that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are who God says you are. And there's times in our lives, and maybe this isn't for you, maybe this is for me or for one person. There's times where we say, or people say over us, you'll never be able to accomplish that. You'll never be able to do that. Who do you think you are? And maybe no one's ever said that to you, but I have an answer for them. Do you? I'll give you my answer, just in case someone asks you this week, who do you think you are? Maybe your loved one will say, who do you think you are? Maybe the Spirit of God will say, who do you think you are? Maybe your enemy this week will say, who do you think you are? Well, my answer is, I'm a child of God. Who are you? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How about you? I'm a sinner saved by grace. Where do you stand? You see, there's an answer in God's word. So I want to encourage us today, as we gather in this atmosphere of praise and worship, as we gather in this atmosphere of prayer and fellowship, as we gather together as stones being made into that holy temple where God chooses to rest and he enables us to be empowered. In Galatians 2 verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. What's he saying? I've died. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now in the body, he's talking about the physical life in the body, I live by faith. Faith in what Christ has done for me. See, I don't just walk in blindness, because the Bible says that once I was blind, but when Jesus came into my life, when I actually accepted him by faith, I could actually see. It says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, the truth of the gospel is, and this walk of faith is not devoid of purpose, it's not devoid of fact, it's not devoid of evidence. God says, look around you. I used to marvel at the simplicity. Now, please bear with me. I'm not a simple person. But I used to marvel at the simplicity of just being able to do this while thinking, what on earth are you thinking about me now at the same time? I used to marvel at just the way my hand worked. I used to marvel when I'd see creation. There was a point in my life where I was blessed to be sponsored to go on a Christian holiday, and we had the opportunity to walk out in the garden and be still. And for me, that was something that I needed, to be still. And I stood under a tree, and the leaves of the tree were quite a greasy leaf, and it started to rain, and a droplet fell on the leaf, perfect sphere. It was round. The colours of the rainbow went through it, and it just rolled off the leaf. See, the evidence is all around us. But we have to start with faith in Jesus Christ. We have to start with the fact that he's done it for you. So my word to you today, my encouragement to you and me today is, he knows you, he loves you, he's called you, he's drawn you, he's equipped you, he's anointed you. And how do I know he's anointed you? Because God would anoint his priests, wouldn't he? Yeah? And what does the Bible say through Christ Jesus that you are? You are priests. You are priests. You're part of his family. Live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would have life and life in all its fullness. Are you living in the fullness of the life that God has given you? If not, then you can. Yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor, that this is happening in my life. I do understand. It's happening in my life too. But his word doesn't change. See, if we build a new foundation, it can be sandy, can't it? But if we stand on the foundation that's already been laid, and this is a reminder for us as children of God, if we stand on the foundation that's already been laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ, as you know, then when the wind and the waves come, we won't fall. Yeah, but I feel a bit shaky at times. So do I. But you won't fall. Why? Because of his power of his word and his spirit that lives in you by faith. We need to grasp hold of it, that he has done it. And if he has done it, we can have it. Everything that was accomplished on the cross is for me and you. It's for me and you. Lord, my prayer, Lord, I'm walking through valley experiences. Well, read the rest of it. Don't just be a tree. Read what God is saying. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Take the comfort. God, nowhere in that psalm does he say that we sit in the valley and we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the stagnation of life. No, he wants to stir us up while we're in the valley so we can walk up the mountain. I hope this is making sense. Anyway, live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and loved you and gave himself for me and for you. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. That's why faith is important to the Christian. Because if grace could be attained through the things we do, instead of through the things he's done, then Christ would have died for nothing. And if he died for nothing, that meant he didn't rise for anything either. And if he didn't rise for anything, it means he's not coming back to take us with him. That's why it's important to accept his word by faith. So if God's spoken to you through prayer this morning already, through the worship, and maybe even, dare I say, through this message today, if God's speaking to you, then that's because he wants to stir you up. He wants to encourage you. He wants you to know that you are exactly what his word says you are. You're his child. You're his child. In Galatians 3:11. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God. Because the righteous will live by faith. So, you don't need to answer this out loud, but you know yourselves. The righteous are those that have accepted Christ Jesus by faith. What they've said is, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Yeah, is that true? Is that the gospel? Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Lord, I'm unrighteous and I need your righteousness. By faith, I trust you. I believe you. Cover me now. Father, your blood was shed for me. I accept you, Jesus, Savior and Lord. Is that the gospel? If you've done that, then you're the righteous. So you don't need to question yourself. I had an argument with XYZ this morning and I said some horrible things and I thought some horrible thoughts. Well, that's stagnation. Let's let the river of God's Spirit move in us so that we can let him flow through us so he can wash us afresh, yeah? Doesn't mean we're not righteous because it's not about what we do, it's about what he has done. So I just want to remind you that afresh today. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us. He brought us back from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole or hung on a tree. God became, through the person of Jesus Christ, a curse for me and you. So you're not cursed. There's times as Christians, some people, they feel under threat because someone curses them. You're not cursed because you're under grace, not under law. You don't need to worry about walking under that ladder. My mother was, well, the things I learned as a child, when a mirror was broken, apparently I'd have 7 years bad luck. Well, I'm not under the curse, are you? So if you're under that curse, you shouldn't be. Because you're not under the law, you're under grace. When I walk under a ladder, apparently that was bad luck, especially if someone was painting and they emptied the can as you was walking underneath. Well, that's unfortunate, isn't it? But I'm not going to be afraid of walking under a ladder. And if these are fears that you have, I'm not belittling them. I'm just saying they're the curse. And you're no longer under curse, you're under grace. When an ambulance went by, my mum would say, quick, hold your collar. I haven't got a clue why you're supposed to hold your collar. But she'd say, hold your collar. When the new year was in, she'd open the back door so that the old year could go out the front door. I don't know why. But she lived under the curse. I live under grace. If you do that, I'm not judging you. I might pray for you. But she opened one door to usher in the new year and push out the old year. And there's no way you could do your washing on a certain day because you'd wash someone out of the family. That's living under the curse. Why do I bring this up? I don't know why I'm bringing this up. It's just on my heart at the moment. But just to say, there are things that happen we've done because we've always done them, because we've been taught that way. Well, that's all under the curse. And we're not under the curse. Amen? We're under grace. There's a new freedom from all of that. There's a new freedom from failure. Do you know what? It's okay to fail. Because God picks us up. He washes us in his blood and he pushes us forward. My grace is sufficient. But the righteous live by faith. It means there's nothing that you can do to earn God's love. There's nothing that you can't do to make him not love you. God so loved the world that he gave. It's a gift. But what you do have to do is receive it, is to take it, is to enable God's freshness to come into our lives. Enable the water of the word to come in and wash us. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, that's you and me, since we have confidence, are you confident? Growing up, I never used to be very confident. In fact, my wife will testify to this. When she met me, she thought, I've arrived. I've finally met a man. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't drink. He doesn't like football. He doesn't speak very much. He's kind. He's generous. I've arrived. And then God got hold of me and I haven't been quiet since. I still don't smoke. I still don't drink. And I still don't like football particularly. But you know, I'm learning to know who I am in Christ. And I'm a sinner saved by grace. But I have confidence. This is what's written down here. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have confidence. You have that same confidence, whether you know it or not, to enter the most holy place. How do you enter it? I'm glad you asked. By the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain. That is his body. So get the picture. Jesus is on the cross, being crucified in pain and agony. Blood is trickling down from his body. The spear goes in. Jesus says, it is finished. The curtain in the temple, that was separation from God from man. That's what the curtain was. Only the priest could go in yet once a year just to bring sacrifices. He had a bell fastened to him just in case he died in God's presence. There was a separation from me and God. And Jesus said, it's finished. The curtain was torn, which means scripture tells me that I now have access. That's what's being said right here. Therefore, brothers and sisters, that's Christians, you and I, we have confidence, not in ourselves, but to enter the most holy place. In other words, to be in God's presence. You have the right to be in God's presence through the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way. See, when we speak about living, when we speak about life, when we speak about waters that are living, they're flowing. They're not stagnant. And I don't know about you, but my prayer for me is that stagnation within me, and I know I have some, that God would allow that water to flow. That I will receive by faith and have the confidence that his blood was shed for me. And it still speaks to me today. By a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain. That is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us, me and you, do what? Draw near. In our songs today, it would say, I fall on my knees. Well, that's an act of worship. That's drawing near to God. That's saying, Lord, help me. It's surrender, isn't it? It's saying, I can't do this. But your word tells me that you've already done it. Give me the faith, Lord, to believe it, to walk in it. Stir the waters in me once again. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance that faith brings. See, faith is the muscle we exercise, but we need to have a sincere heart. Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Father, I can't do this. It's being honest with God. Lord, I failed. It's being honest with God. He knows anyway, doesn't he? Lord, but you've already fixed it. Lord, my failure has already been covered by your blood. Doesn't mean that I can keep on sinning, but it means I can put it right with you right now. Take the stagnation in my life and flow afresh in me. The heart with full assurance that faith brings, having our heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. You see, these are not just words that I'm making up. This is what the word says, that the blood of Christ sprinkled over our lives cleanses us from all unrighteousness through faith in what Jesus has done, not by what we do. Faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed in pure water. So when we're speaking about the water is the water of the word. So for me, I didn't fully understand why I was speaking about the stagnation until I just read this portion of scripture. It's because there's a pureness of God's word. There's a cleansing process washed by the pure water. That's the water of the Holy Spirit. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he promised, he who promised is faithful. Can I say to you afresh today that his promises are yes, but the amen is spoken by us. He is faithful. Just a couple more minutes. He is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. When we broke down into small groups and started praying, what we did was we were spurring you on. That's something that we don't normally do. I know there's been some people praying in church that God would change and challenge and move us. And here we are, an expression of that change and challenge and moving. And going back to that word stagnation, when we move, it pushes out the stagnant and brings in the fresh. So part of our service today through worship, through word, through prayer is to spur you on, to spur one another towards love and good deeds, to spur you on to be the best that you can be. We want to be your cheerleaders, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. There are times, and I know I am not legalistic at all, but I know there are times in my life and my wife's life where we have not wanted to be in the presence of other Christians. We've not wanted to fellowship with other Christians. We've not wanted to go to the prayer meeting, the home group, or church on a Sunday. And when we pushed through, we were spurred on by someone else. We was in the presence of the Spirit of God who was washing away the filth in my life so that I could see the freshness of his grace. So let's not give up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, scripture says, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. God's word is power. His grace is there for me and you. Quickly, I'll go through these couple of scriptures. Hebrews 11:11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, they understood that the universe was formed at God's command. What a fantastic thing you've created, Lord. You see, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, so are you. But it's by faith. It's by faith. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. You see, because Jesus died, our old life died with him if we accept him. Because he rose again, we're born again of his spirit. Because he goes to sit at the right hand of the Father, we can sit with the Father too. Because he's coming back, because he's already prepared a place for us. But it's by faith that we accept it. Can I invite our worship team to come back, please? In John 14:1, it says this: do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me, Jesus says. My Father's house has many rooms. It's just to back up the words I just spoke. If that were not so, I would have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said, I don't know the way, Lord. Maybe you're saying today, I don't know the way to where you are. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So let's finish on that challenge. On the challenge that maybe you're saying, I don't know the way. Well, Jesus is the way. I don't understand about Jesus. Well, you don't need to. Because faith tells me that everything that's written in this book is for my edification, my discipline, and my encouragement. And that Jesus came to pay the price so I didn't have to. He came to die on a cross so I could live on this earth. He came to forgive me of my sins so that I could be washed and cleansed. He came to take away the stagnant waters in my world so that life can flow through me. And I want to encourage you today to accept him by faith afresh. Lord, that I accept. If you want to say amen after my prayer, you're perfectly welcome to do so. Father, I thank you for what you've accomplished for me on the cross. Jesus, I thank you that you became the curse so that I could be set free. I thank you that I don't have to live the way that the world tells me I have to live. I live according to your plans and purposes. Father God, I thank you that not only was Jesus the way, he's also the truth. So reveal your truth to me afresh today. Not only was he the way and the truth, he's also the life, the fullness and the freshness of the water flowing through me. Lord, cleanse me, clothe me, enable me, empower me, I pray. Father, I thank you that I'm your child and that I've been part and adopted into your family. Father God, help me to hold my head up, to move my feet forward. Help me to listen, to understand, to know when to speak and to know when to be silent. Give me wisdom, give me discernment. Lord, I am your child. Bring about a manifestation of your grace over my life today. Lord, I need healing in my body. Touch me afresh. Lord, I need you to move the stagnant waters from my circumstances and bring in a freshness of your spirit. I ask this in Jesus' name, and I say, Amen.